Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, it's Football Friday. Let's do this thing. Grant and Danny on the Fan with you until 6:30. We got an hour and 25 minutes to break down the Commanders and the Cowboys, to get you ready for a big day of NFL football on Sunday. We'll even cover a little college football, because I like the slate tomorrow. Gonna be good. Appreciate everybody listening. Danielson, how are you?
Let's get it going. We got a pack 4.5 into an hour and a half. I think we'll do it. I think we're going to do it. It's gonna be like one of those cans where you, like, how'd you get the tuna in that can, man? How'd you do that? Like, how'd you get it in there and then seal the can up? Like, no one talks about that. That's what we're going to do with this show.
Bengals are 2-2 after they won last night. 27-15 final. Joe Burrow threw for 287 and two touchdowns. The T. Higgins show. 7 grabs for a 124 and a tutty on 9 targets. Everyone talks about Ja'Marr Chase, and they should. Ja'Marr Chase is outstanding. LSU stud, arguably the greatest receiver in the league. I'll take Justin Jefferson, his college teammate. But there's a couple guys in that conversation. Chase gets the ball in the open field. Nobody's catching that guy. T. Higgins gets slept on.
I never understood why no one wanted T. Higgins. Lesson of the second round?
Second round pick,
just
man.
A good player at Clemson.
Big, physical. He does not ever look like he's doing anything fast.
Yeah.
But he's got,
there's a grace, effortless.
Enough speed. The hands are great. Contested catches. Hard to tackle. I am a T. Higgins guy.
I'm a Mark. What a great counter, too, to Ja'Marr Chase. Chase is a do-everything. He can be big, physical if you want. He can go down the field if you want. Catch it underneath and go if you want. Higgins is a great opposite to that. It's just he's so big and strong, and he's very, very capable. There was one throw that Burrow made to him last night where Higgins, I think, was kind of on a deep cross or kind of a square in, something like that. It was behind him, and there was no – it was just sort of like, oh, it's behind me. I'll just snatch it out of the air. He made it look easy, and I remember watching it going, that's not easy. He's going full speed the opposite direction. He reached behind and snagged, kind of did this little spin-around move and, you know, got a couple yards afterwards. So graceful. That guy can play.
First couple weeks of the season, the Bengals lost games they shouldn't have. Hosting Pittsburgh and then in Dallas against a backup quarterback. But they've made up for it since. They walloped the Jets. And then they got a game they had to have last night against the Dolphins. Next up for them, a week from now against the Ravens and eventually the Saints and the Falcons as their schedule loosens just a little bit. But the big story in this game was on the losing sideline where the Dolphins fell to 3-1, their first loss of the season. The Eagles are the only undefeated team left in football. But Teddy Bridgewater was knocked out of this game with a concussion.
Tua
Tagovailoa was knocked out of this game with a concussion, leading to Teddy Bridgewater coming into the game. And this was really scary, man. This was kind of football at its worst. And sports to some extent at their worst if you were watching, because they're showing the replay over and over again, and you're at home on your couch, and you see Tua get slammed to the ground. And you already know coming into this game, he was questionable with a concussion. We talked all day yesterday. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Sound like it was trending toward that way. The problem was they were saying he didn't have a concussion. Supposedly, I guess I should say, it was a back injury because that's what they've determined. Even though we all watched him get hurt in a game 4 days before they kicked off last night in Cincinnati, and he was falling to the ground and being held up by teammates, and he looked dazed and confused. Very, very scary. Seeing for the second time in 4 days, Tua couldn't get up off the turf. And this time he's in the fencing pose. His fingers were kind of curling. His arms were locked. He had to be put on a stretcher and ambulanced off the field. Just frightening last night in Cincinnati.
Tua rolling left with the grain, and down he goes. Slung down at his own 48-yard line. Josh Tupu. And uh-oh. Well, we saw last week, and he went down. He got up, was wobbly. The training staff comes out. And, of course, the last thing the Dolphins wanted to see. I mean, last week it looked for all the world. Everybody thought head injury, concussion, passed the protocol, came back second half, led him to a victory.
And Altupo slams him to the ground. I mean, it's you're thinking about the back, the ankle, but he gets thrown to the ground.
Again, wrenching that back, which was the issue last week.
Yep.
So they work on him. We'll step away for a moment.
Both of the injuries the last 2 weeks, back of the head, has hit the turf harder than the rest of his body.
Scary.
Immobilized, taken off the field. You get the stretcher involved. You hear that a guy's immediately being taken to the hospital. He went over to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. It's just, as a fan, it kind of takes you out of the experience a little bit. I always give the players credit because it's amazing. I mean, Bridgewater comes in, immediately starts to try to lead a drive, and at that point, Tyreek Hill, who went 10 for 160 last night, and Sherfield and Waddle and the receivers go right back to work, and that's their buddy who they're worried about. It's a crazy game.
Yeah, it really is incredible. On a number of fronts, too, the protocols failed here, Grant, and I guess you've seen, I don't know, I'm not accusing any one person of something nefarious. I don't think anybody forged the document or anything like that.
He passed all the tests neurologically.
Right. And supposedly. That's kind of my point here is, you know, so everybody wants to say, Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins are the bad guy, or the doctor that examined him is the bad guy, or this is the bad guy. I don't know who the bad guy is or if there is one. I just know that we got to avoid that. Let's write a new rule. Let's not be mad at anybody. Let's not put any more blame. This happened. Let's find a way to not have that. I don't have a great solution, but let's come up with a couple more guidelines or something. I don't know what should have happened differently. I'm no expert. I just know that it just looks really, really bad. Given Sunday, given what we saw, and the fact that he came back into the game, it's hard to ignore the Cam Newton incident of a couple years ago where he was wobbly, but the protocol doesn't really apply if it's the quarterback or something. He came back into the game. Maybe he shouldn't have. And now you got this on Thursday. I think a lot of people are rankled, and I understand it.
So how is it possible that you can get up like he did after a hit, clearly brushing off some cobwebs, for lack of a better phrase. Take a few steps and fall over and kind of need to be held up. And come back in that game. I mean, because what they're saying is it was a back injury, that it was not head, that it was not a concussion. But my eyes are lying to me, I guess.
Yeah.
To me, it looks like a guy who is dizzy. It looks like a guy who's dazed. It looks like a guy who, in that moment,
woozy out of
walk.
It. Yeah.
And then he's back in the game playing again right after that. This was last week. This was on Sunday, this past weekend. So he helps them get the win. And immediately, the Players Association launches an investigation because everyone was saying, that just didn't look right. Something about that's not right. And then you're back on the field on Thursday before the investigation is over. And the PA came out last night and said, hey, our number one priority is player safety, and we're still trying to figure out what happened, so the investigation's ongoing. He's already played and suffered another hit, and my buddy's a nurse I'm texting with, and he's talking about how if you have two serious concussions in a very short time, it can be lethal. And I mean, everyone got ahead of themselves, and luckily it sounds like he has responded well, and he's talking, and he's got feeling in all of his extremities right away, and that's great, right? But we also know enough about concussions now to know that that's not really the story now, is it?
Mm.
I mean, it's better than the opposite. We wanted to hear that he was responsive and talking and that he's watching movies and he's going to fly back with the team and laughing at the movie scenes with everybody else. All the reports that have come out. That's great. But CTE, everything we've seen and we've learned and all the knowledge we have now, the issues aren't external. You can't see it. You don't walk around wearing a badge or a wristband that says,
I have it now.
Lingering issues from the hit on Sunday and more lingering issues from the hit on Thursday.
So you said something a little bit earlier that jogged my memory, Jeeps. And to be serious here for a second, reminds me of kind of the entire Bob Costas NBC football saga. Does that ring any bells? You remember that, how that all went down? For years, he was kind of saying, hey, he was critical of football. It culminated in that symposium at the University of Maryland where he basically was saying, there's a 100% link between brain injury, concussion, CTE. It's the nature of the game. The game is wrong, basically. And ultimately, they took him off Sunday Night Football, put other people in there, and, you know, Costas went on his merry way and so on and so forth. It reminded me of this sort of nagging little voice every once in a while watching this incredible sport that is unbelievably entertaining. It's the best product on television that we've got. It's amazing. It's so, so good, and it's the drug, right? We all kind of know it. We sort of forgive all their sins off the field when it comes to the league and their hypocrisy, the inconsistency, owners getting away with all this crap, this other kind of stuff. But it's just like ugly reminder every once in a while that this is so violent. It's so violent, and it's so dangerous. And some of these guys have paid incredible prices. The names you could just rattle off, from Dave Duerson to Junior Seau to, you know, to everybody in between. And I don't know. Just it like, as you said, it takes you out of the theater of it for a moment. No, these aren't autonomous robots. It's not my Madden game. These aren't just dudes on my fantasy team. Human beings facing very real, painful, challenging things, and it just sort of makes you shiver a little bit.
It's a bad analogy, but it's for me, it's almost like when you read that a plane crashed, and anymore getting on a plane and landing where you're going, and it's just expected. You know what I mean? You just you get on the plane, it's going where it's going, and you're going to be there, and I'm just going to go on living my life. But like, it's a actual event that's happening, that this thing's 30,000 feet up and it has to come down, and there are some issues that could come about. And I'm like you watch all these games and it's almost like you're watching a Madden simulation. And then you see something like that and you go, wait a second, this just got real. This guy's arms are locking up and his fingers are pointing in 10 different directions, and he's getting loaded onto a stretcher, and I'm getting texted by a medical professional saying, if he suffered two bad concussions in 4 days, he could have issues for the rest of his life. And I'm thinking, how did we get here?
Right.
I mean, why is this guy even on the field at this point? If he may have suffered a concussion on Sunday, and if that's a possibility that if you suffer two, that it could have not only long-lasting impacts, but, you know, could be fatal, could be terrible. This was the head coach of the Dolphins, Mike McDaniel, yesterday after the game, discussing the matter.
Absolutely. I don't think that an injury from last week made him fall the same way this week. But yeah, I do not have any, absolutely zero patience for, or will ever put a player in a position for them to be in harm's way. That is like not what I'm about at all. And no outcome of a game would ever influence me being irresponsible as the head coach of the football team.
And I believe him. I know the guy a little bit. He was in Washington when I was on the beat, and I will take him at his word. I believe him. The team followed the protocol, according to the NFL, having looked into this. Now, the Players Association will do their own investigation, and if they find something nefarious happened, then we can reassess. But for the moment, it looks like Tua was checked. They determined he didn't have a concussion. If you have an issue, it's with the league or the protocol, not the team. That's what I don't really understand with the screaming for the heads of Dolphins brass, including McDaniel, who mentioned after the game as well that he's the coach. Like, he might play doctor at press conferences on Wednesday when he tells you who's going to play or who's not, but it's not up to him. Everyone acts like he went over like Varsity Blues and told Wendell to get his shot.
The shot in his knee.
To get in the game, and he's like, no, this is up to doctors. This is above my head here.
That's told to me. It's not I'm making that decision. It's more that the medical professionals that are there with him at the time deem him fit to leave. And, you know, what goes into that, you know, I wouldn't pretend to know. I just report the news.
I was on the beat with the Robert Griffin ACL situation. Mike Shanahan would ask doctors, including, by the way, the doctor of all doctors, James Andrews, who at that time was on the sideline for every down and every game and every play
because
they paid him all that money. He would say, what should I do? And they would say, here's our opinion. And then he would do that. And then it, whatever happens, happens. And when Griffin got hurt, everyone wanted to go throw rocks at Mike Shanahan at National Harbor or whatever. You know, like, let's all get an apple and then chuck it at his head. All you can do if you're the team is follow whatever medical protocols are in place in terms of concussions and then follow medical professionals. So if they screwed up, we're going to find out, hopefully. But if they didn't, I'm not sure what the Dolphins were supposed to do.
I know. And that's kind of my point here is I don't know if there's one bad guy. I'm not smart enough to with the language. My friends, I have a couple doctors that I was actually in Austin, Texas with, but we're on an email chain, and that's all they're talking about today. Let a couple of those guys take a crack at a statement or a policy or something. Because whatever that is that led to that with Tua, let's try to prevent that. Again, I don't know how. I don't know what baseline testing. I don't know what information we could have used. It seems my skin's crawling thinking about the fact that how bad he looked Sunday, 4 days later, he's got to go to the hospital and they're talking about the rest of his life being affected.
You know what my first thought was? If you have a concussion, you can't play within a calendar week. Like Sunday to Sunday, no problem. Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't say no problem, but you're able to play.
Right.
But if you have a concussion on the weekend, any games before that, you're not allowed to play. The problem with that is that technically he didn't have a concussion.
And that's what we keep coming back to.
Supposedly, if you, again, who am I to sit here? I'm not a doctor. I just play 101.67 The Fan right now. It looked like he had a concussion.
Sure did.
When he got slammed to the ground in their third game of the season this Sunday. But if he didn't, then any policy about how quickly you could get back on the field really wouldn't matter. Steve's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Steve?
Hey, so what I'm wondering is, all I heard about is he got slammed to the ground. Why are we concluding that because he had something happen, 4 days earlier, that that relates to that? He got slammed to the ground, and that alone could have caused, you know, whatever injury is. So why are we bringing in, you know, his,
Yeah, no, it's a fair question. It is. It's a fair question.
Here's the answer, though. Because if you have two concussions in the span of 4 days that are very serious, so are the ramifications. And if he had a concussion on Sunday, he probably wouldn't have played on Thursday. Meaning, if they deemed that he had a concussion, if he failed those tests, if he didn't pass the protocol, you probably aren't cleared again and getting through everything you need to for a game on Thursday when your walkthrough was Wednesday, when you really didn't have a true practice. It's just too quick a timeline. So I think why people cared so much is the video that we all saw made it seem like this is a concussed person.
We just saw it. We've had 3 calendar days of us talking about it. We just saw it. If this was 2 years ago, nobody would have cared.
The biggest story
in football.
It was
a year ago, we would have cared. Yes.
Well, maybe that's overstated.
Among the biggest stories, yes.
One of the biggest stories in the league, Monday and Tuesday, for people who cover league business and rules and violations, guys like Mike Florio, was how the Tua situation was handled on Sunday. Because to everyone watching, it appeared like his bell got rung and he was concussed. Yet, he was able and allowed to come back into the game. He passed the protocol. So the whole dialogue going into the game on Thursday night was, do we need to look better into this protocol? Is it really okay that this could happen on Sunday? And based on passing some baseline tests or whatever happened, you could be on the game, in the game, on the field on Thursday? I mean, there's a doctor who I saw, Concussion LF, CEO, founder, neuroscientist, author, speaker. I think he was with WWE at one point. His name's Chris Nowinski. He tweeted hours before the game last night. If Tua takes the field tonight, it's a massive step back for concussion care in the NFL. If he has a second concussion that destroys his season or career, everyone involved will be sued and should lose their jobs, coaches included. We all saw it. Even they must know this isn't right. This was before the game.
Mm.
And then what happened. So you can't possibly have seen Sunday's action, then watch Thursday night and seen the concussion and not had some link between the two to answer his question.
I think that's it for me, is that we just saw it. If it was 3 weeks ago, it might not have been the story. But it was.
I'm not blaming the Dolphins like everyone else is. It appears that they followed the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, does that need to be looked at? And if we're going to do Thursday games, which appear here to stay, by the way, which are unsafe for the players largely, in my opinion, great for all of us on TV, wonderful for numbers, I understand why they do it. You can't be in the concussion protocol on Sunday night or being investigated for a concussion in his case, in this weird, he had a back injury, whatever was going on, and then play on Thursday. That just seems like a stretch. You guys can hop in if you want to. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Man, that it's always scary when somebody goes down like that. It's we play a dangerous game that, you know, at the end of the day, we're all competitors, but we all want everybody to stay healthy out there. Tua's a tough guy. I've known him for a long time. It's great news that he's flying back with the team. Hopefully he recovers quickly.
That's the voice of Joe Burrow, the other of the QBs who started last night. Bengals beat the Dolphins, but the story was that 4 days after getting knocked around, supposedly hurting his back, looking dazed and confused on the field, Tua Tagovailoa was slammed to the ground on Thursday Night Football and suffered a really serious concussion, led to a fencing reaction, as they call it, with his arms locking up and right in the middle of the field for everyone to see. It was not a good look for the NFL. We'll get into the Commanders and the Cowboys coming up next segment, but we wanted to give you guys a chance to react as to what you think comes out of this, if anything, and is this a time for the league to reassess anything about their protocol, or do you think that it worked and it was just bad optics in a very dangerous sport? Let's go to Mike in Springfield on The Fan. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, bud?
Good, man.
Hey, so I think it's everyone understands the risk when you put the helmet on and you get on the field. And I'm sure he went through the proper protocol to actually get on the field. So I understand that it's a little worried. I think Danny's over-exaggerating a little bit by stating, it was dangerous to him and everything. I think it's just a part of the game.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it is a part of the game. And that was kind of my point, is that I'm reminded every so often that, yep, this is unbelievably violent, and these guys are in you know, car wrecks 70 times a game.
Yeah, there are
you
players
know?
Who are paralyzed. Ryan Shazier walks but will never play again and will never have the same gait, you know, and was partially paralyzed. There are guys who have taken their lives based on head trauma at young ages. I mean, it doesn't mean that both can't be true. Yes, it's part of the game, and also it's really dangerous and really violent.
Yeah, 300-pound guy picked up Tua and slammed him into the ground, and his brain bruised up against his skull. That's what happened. I know it's part of the game. That was a tackle. There was no penalty on the play, by the way. That was absolutely part of the game. No extracurriculars. No one's getting fined. Maybe somebody does.
I was a little bit surprised there wasn't a tackle.
Well, you know what I mean.
It wasn't a penalty, by the way, just because normally if a quarterback gets, you know,
sure,
breath blown on them that doesn't smell.
You
breath.
Landed near him, penalty.
Exactly.
But you know what I mean. It's within the norms and confines of the game. It
absolutely.
Wasn't a punch or something.
It wasn't dirty. It wasn't, no, it was just normal football stuff happening. There's no doubt about that. But I guess my question is less about the violence or you know, how awful the moment was, and more, we all saw what happened on Sunday. We talked for 2 days about how he came back into the game, which seemed really odd as it was. But then, now the next chapter was he played on Thursday and this happened. And it led to, while he's laying on the field, from what we could see, not able to move, at least momentarily, and being put on a stretcher, to a lot of neurologists and people that know a lot more about it than me coming forward and saying, just so we're all on the same page, if you suffer two traumatic brain blows in a very short time, it will affect you forever. Let's go to Taylor in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. Hey, Taylor.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, bud?
To be honest, that's my main point that I am harping on. We watched him on Sunday take this hit to the back of the head, and based on everything we know about contact sports and even just concussions, you know, he is clearly concussed. Now, I didn't see the game on Sunday with him, so I don't know if he took any other hits. But you take that hit on the back of the head, right, any other hits he accumulated during that game, and then you add in the other hit on the back of the head in the field, I mean, look what you saw. We need to look at the protocol, which I think is the biggest thing everybody's missing on. What is the protocol that this man who had jello legs, boxing legs, legs like an M...
You cut out. Sorry about that, buddy. It's a really good call he was making, and I wish he wouldn't have cut out, because it kind of goes to my point, which is to say this. Supposedly, he passed whatever tests are necessary based on the baseline.
That's right.
To go back into the game to say that you were not concussed. Yet, what we now perceive and know a concussion to be in this new era of enlightenment on head trauma in football is what he was suffering from, right? The idea of players used to say, my bell got rung, you know, my I was seeing stars, like, that is a concussion. That's what we've been told.
Right. It's more mild than when you're passed out on the ground.
Of course.
Locked arms and whatever Tua was experiencing.
I think the gray area then that needs to be addressed is, and I don't know the answer, should you not be allowed to go back in if you pass the baseline testing like he did and are deemed to have not had a concussion? Or should we just follow the anecdotal evidence of what the visual, what the optics are, what it looks like? Because pretty clearly, for a short time, you were not Tua Tagovailoa.
That's right.
You were days, you were out of it. If he passes all the tests and he gets back on the field, he followed the protocol. But that gray area says, we now know what this looks like, and you had that. Just to tell a player he can't go back on the field, I don't know if that's good enough, right? I mean, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars. They're in the middle of important games they care a lot
obviously
about.
They all think they're invincible.
Exactly.
There's type A's, they come.
Health has to matter above and beyond more than anything else. But good luck telling a guy who doesn't want to come off the field as it is, who you're now dragging to the blue tent or into the medical room, whatever, with an independent neurologist. Hey, you passed the test. We can't prove you had a concussion, but we got a guy sitting up in the press box who thinks you do.
Yeah, the spotter overrules everything.
So he's not going to let you play again. I mean, I don't think that'll work. That doesn't sound like it'll work. Josh in Upper Marlboro, how are you?
Hey, fellas. Listen, Grant, I am usually in lockstep with you on the notion of you trust experts. I believe in science. I believe that there are people who have developed expertise and they've gone to school for stuff and that I didn't go to school for, and so I generally trust them. But it is also the case that experts can be dead wrong and make really bad decisions sometimes. And so I don't agree necessarily that you can't blame any Dolphins here. I think you can blame some very specific Dolphins. Anyone, it's objectively silly to say that these guys made the right call after Sunday. They just didn't. There's no wiggle room there. They just did not make the right call. They didn't evaluate him well. You don't have to be a doctor or a neuroscientist to say that, but although a lot of neuroscientists are saying
let me ask you this, because I think you're making a great point, but let me ask you one question. So far, I'm kind of agreeing with most of what you're saying, but when you say that you can't say they did the right thing by him, or I don't remember the exact phrase, if he passed all of the tests and they went through all of the listed protocols,
like if they really did it,
you're saying that
what I understand, my very rudimentary, elementary understanding of concussion science, and I heard this on the Junkies earlier today where they had an expert on talking about that, is those tests are very subjective. It's not like there's some X-ray where you can see it. It's a subjective determination.
Interesting.
And so that, therefore, when there's subjective determination, somebody's got to have some freaking common sense, right? I mean, that's when there's, it's what I would say, the metaphor, you know, and it's like if you had a producer that was going to book a guest, and you know this guest is going to be a problem, you know that they're like going to be, you know, somehow go off in left field and say something that's not appropriate, but it technically they're allowed to be on, and then the guy goes ahead and books them, and then it blows up in your face. That's not just on the producer. That would be on you guys for not stepping in and saying somebody's gonna have some common sense here. So it's the coach and it's the doctors there. Like, yes, I get it, but it's not just the protocol. It's common sense, and these guys failed the common sense test, and they should be held accountable for that.
So I actually think it's a great phone call. Appreciate you. The idea of a subjective test on the concussion, that's not how I've understood it. My understanding, and back when I was in the beat, I asked about this a bunch, and I really don't know anything more than what I knew then, which was like back in 12, 13, was that you took a baseline test of how you saw and answered and visually how your brain worked on, you know, different, whatever this test was. And then you took it again. And basically you had to get the same or better results, was my understanding, which is not subjective. If I'm wrong about that, and this is subjective, well, that calls a lot more into question.
Yeah, those are field tests, right? That's the, you know, follow this pen this way or that
exactly.
way. It's, you know, how many fingers am I holding up? Whatever,
how
that kind of stuff.
How do you feel right now? Do you have a headache?
What's your name?
If it is subjective, well, that's a whole nother discussion, in my opinion. Because now, depending on who's asking them those questions, if it's a new, it used to be, and it still is to some extent,
the independent doctor.
Independent doctor. Yeah. It's not someone who's wearing Miami Dolphins hoodie who's asking him if he can play against the Bengals so they can get him back on the field. That's not how that's supposed to go. Even if it is subjective, it's supposed to be someone appointed from the NFL who doesn't care who wins the game or if Tua throws for 300 yards or 0 yards, who's determining if he can play or not, which gives me, even if it's subjective, a little bit more hope. But I think that's a sharp phone call. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Scary scene last night in Cincinnati. Plus, we'll turn our attention to the Commanders and the Cowboys, 2 days away from a huge division matchup.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Top of the hour in 12 minutes on Grant and Danny. We'll get you a preview of the Commanders and the Cowboys. They play on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Dallas. For Washington, a chance to snap a two-game losing streak. For the Cowboys, they're looking to extend their two-game winning streak. Washington, opportunity to get back to 500 with a soft portion of the schedule looming. They still have the Bears on Thursday Night Football. They've got a sub-500 Titans team that is not the same as it was when it was the number one seed in the AFC last year. We'll get to a preview, and we scout the opponent, Nui Scruggs, on the Cowboys coming up at the top of the hour in just a moment. Wanted to get into the injury report with you really quick, Danny, because Wes Schweitzer is going to be out. And so that means officially now, man, the Commanders are on center number four.
It's already happened. Last year they played five guys at that spot, right?
Yeah.
And they were on our way again.
They are going to top that this season, maybe. It depends on what happens now with Nick Martin, who started 60 games in his career. This is Zach Martin's brother, two brothers on the field. Obviously, Zach, longtime Dallas Cowboy. But the game's going to be won or lost, in my opinion, on their ability to hold up in pass protection. That's not to say that if they do a good job keeping Wentz upright, they'll definitively win. I don't know if they can win the game by winning the battle against the Cowboys pass rush, but I know they can lose it if they don't do a good job.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You'll have a shot. You'll have a puncher's chance in this one. You can go back and forth. You might beat Dallas, you might not. If it's like it was against Philadelphia, good night, roll the credits. Thanks so much for stopping by. Go do something else on your Sunday. But if they're able to protect better, if they get their act together, if Wentz, you know, is, you know, not doing the hero stuff where he's holding on to the ball forever, maybe takes the first read a couple times, maybe the check down here and there, gets the ball out. If there's enough running game to sort of build some play action, if Scott Turner's calling some more boots or screens or some things to kind of help these guys out a little bit. And if again, I think the offensive line to start was bad before then it became more of a Wentz problem. That's just my opinion. If they start well and don't let Micah Parsons go nuts because he's going to line up everywhere, if they don't let this defensive front, who's been unbelievable getting after the quarterback, do that, now Washington can be in the football game.
Yeah, you've heard me say this stat a few times, probably this week. 24 pressures for the Cowboys against the Giants, the most in
Unreal.
A game in 5 years in the NFL this past Monday night. Quick turnaround, and now they get an offensive group that gave up 9 sacks last week. And I say group, it's not a line thing to me. That's Wentz, that's your O-line, that's your play calling, that's the design, that's everything. And it all has to be better, more efficient to keep him standing flat-footed in the pocket and able to look down the field. As far as the Washington defense, I kind of like the matchup for them a little bit, to be honest. Cooper Rush has been a game manager, and he's done a good job for the most part protecting the football, but the Cowboys have not been explosive really at all. Their passing game, CeeDee Lamb, can strike up the band. He can get behind you. But otherwise, there's not anyone you really worry a whole lot about. This is a possession group. A lot of stuff underneath, to the backs, to the tight ends. They are 24th in the NFL in passing offense, and they're 24th in passing yards per play. Until Dak comes back, I don't really see that changing. You know, maybe with a full allotment of personnel, including Michael Gallup, who could play this weekend, I believe. I'll look that up. But there's a chance, I guess, that the Cowboys get a little bit better offensively just having all their weapons at their disposal. But I think their floor has fallen less than their ceiling. Their ceiling has really dropped off going to Rush. This is the number 23 offense in the league.
I think you're right.
If you're Jack Del Rio, you've had your hands full recently. The Eagles were a bad matchup. I didn't know how you were going to get stops. They actually did an okay job. I like the matchup for this defense to pin their ears back, try to get to Cooper Rush. You can be a little bit more risky. You could send some corners off the edge. Because I'm not that scared of anyone on this offense other than Tony Pollard, who carries the ball about half the time or less, and CeeDee Lamb. I mean, they just lack the scary, lethal weapons that a lot of teams have.
I think Noah Brown's a nice player, but it doesn't terrify you.
Yeah. To me, seven catches for 65 yards.
To me, it's Lamb and Pollard. Pollard's your home run hitter, right? I think he's very capable of that. And CeeDee Lamb can get open against almost anybody. If he's on and he catches it, he's a real threat. But yeah, I think you're right. I think the ceiling is lowered a bit offensively. I would love for them to try to grind this one out and hand it to Zeke 20 times. That'd be great.
Let's see what Nui Scruggs thinks. He covers the Cowboys in Dallas. He will scout the opponent for us next on G&D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.